Hallelujah. Everybody agree that he is right. That his word is right. Amen. Praise God. If we just get that settled, that if God says something, if we see it in his word, if he says it by his spirit, he's right. Yeah, but I thought there was something else. Well, who hasn't? Welcome to the club. I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. Well, that's a problem. Because we're all wrong. You realize nobody in here has perfect doctrine right now. We all have, including me. You understand that? I'm not making a bad confession. What is that saying? I don't understand as he understands. I'm learning and growing. Now, if you have a problem with that, if you think that's wrong, the Bible says we don't, if anybody thinks he knows, he doesn't knows anything, he does not know as he ought to know. How many of you think when we get to heaven, we're going to discover a few things? Huh? I don't care who you think you know that knows the word on the face of the earth, they do not know everything. If you think they do, you're in trouble. Because we don't follow men. We follow the word of God, and we follow his spirit. Did you hear me? That's why we have to look at scripture. You don't look at somebody's philosophy or their ideas, their religious ideas, quote unquote. No, that will get you into trouble. And if you follow somebody, and you got to check it all the time, is that in the word? Now, don't get legalistic about it, but that's why we provide scripture, so that we can know what the Bible says. Because religion will mess you up. Messes up people everywhere. And religion in us. Be careful of this. Do you realize everybody here has some religion in us? You say, not me. Let's go, like I say this a lot, you come talk to me afterward, we'll talk about that. If you think you have zero religion in you right now, you're deceived. No, I'm clear, I have the word. You don't have anything in you that was put in you over time. So in other words, say it like this. You could stand up and say, I have understanding of the word just like God does. Does anybody want to stand up and say that? You understand as you know as God knows. Well, Paul said, we see as through a glass darkly. The Apostle Paul that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament said that. You think you're further. Huh? No. This is not a bad confession. I'm not saying we don't strive to know more. We ought to do everything we know to do in the light we have. But what I'm saying is we're learning. I know I see clearer this year than I did last year. Now, we're not talking about major things that you're just, off in a corner on major doctrine. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we're getting refined. We're seeing more clearly. Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord. So we're saying as we see, if we see what the word says, a humble person will say, that's right, I see it, and they'll change, and they'll do it. Amen. Glory to God. Well, that always applies, no matter what we're talking about. Anyway, today, I just had it on my heart. We've been in a series about victory, and we're getting there, spirit of victory. But, a few weeks ago, Shelley and I spoke together, and then last week was a little bit different service. But just this morning, I had in my heart to talk about praying in the Spirit and go over some things. And we'll hook back up with the other sermon, soon. I believe, we'll be endeavor to be led by him. But to just go over some things here and just what does the Bible say about these things? And you know what? This, I didn't want to put this in along with the other series, but this, we talk about walking in victory. This is a huge deal. Okay, we're going to see this, but just an introing, being filled with the Spirit is a big deal. If you're going to walk in victory, this is a key. We are not meant to go through life without this as a Christian. We're going to see that. Now let's just get into the word, all right? You guys ready?
Yes.
Because I you know, there's a lot of ground I want to cover today. For some of you, you've heard certain things before. That's fine. This is going to be a refresher. This is also just for some people, just to go over some things. We're going to hit a lot of scripture, okay? I believe. We may get to one and stay there the whole time. But at this point, I think we're gonna go over some. So why don't you put this, let's see. Let's go ahead and turn over to Romans. Why don't you do this? Find Romans 8. And then find 1 Corinthians 14. Now, we'll put these up on the screen, and you have them in your scripture sheet, but let's go ahead and turn those. It's good to look at the Bible, too. Just turn to the pages. So Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. You are good. Lord, and your mercy endures forever. You're so good. Now go ahead and put up Romans 8, verse 14, if you can. Something happened to the template? Don't know. All right, Romans 8, verse 14. It says, and this is on your sheet too, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Amen. Amen. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Verse 15, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." So your spirit is bearing witness. It says, verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, this is just part of the new birth. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and the Spirit will bear witness with you that you are a child of God, and this is a primary way he leads you. But this is not, he being in you, there is a subsequent experience, you being filled with the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit is one thing. Being filled with the Spirit is another, and that's what we're going to focus on today. Romans 8, 28. Just go down a little bit further. Actually, go to 26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we ought to, or what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession. But for us with groanings which cannot be uttered," or another translation says, "for uttered inarticulate speech. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses." Thank God the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. He helps us. You say, "Oh, I feel so weak." Well, thank God that he helps us. He is the Almighty, and he helps us. Amen. Amen. "Well, I just don't know." Good news. We have a helper. We have a helper. God, by his Spirit, helps us. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians 14. So he helps us. One of the ways we're going to see this, I'm just putting this out front, but we're going to see this. He helps us. One of the ways he helps us is through praying in the Spirit. Now, we're just flying over this. You're going to see these verses here. But being filled with the Spirit is an experience separate from salvation. It's not. Some people try to say, well, that's being filled with the Spirit, that's just when you got saved. No, it's not, and we're going to see it from the Bible. It's a separate experience. We need this experience is not really optional for the Christian. Now, technically, you can get through life without it. Millions are. They are living life as a Christian without it, but they don't have the victory and the experience they should. Jesus himself told us we needed it. And we're going to see it here. Now, the Bible says, now we're going to give scripture for all this, but just kind of flying over a little bit, the Bible says how you would know if you're filled with the Spirit is the evidence is, the initial evidence is speaking with other tongues. Somebody said, well, I'm filled, but I just don't speak with tongues. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. Well, I'm just filled, but I just don't speak with other tongues. That's not what the Bible says. Now, we're going to go over the Bible, the scriptures, okay? The initial evidence, according to the Word of God, is speaking with other tongues. Now, we just read in Romans that He helps us in our weaknesses. Well, this is one of the ways He helps us. He said, we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit Himself helps us. You're going to see some verses here. We speak out mysteries. See, you bypass your head and you yield to the Spirit of God on the inside of you that knows all. He knows what's coming. He knows what you need to pray for, and you can pray in English the best you can according to the Word. Thank God for it. We ought to do that, but you don't know the future. I don't know the future. You don't know the idiosyncrasies of the situation you're facing. He does, and as you yield to Him, you bypass your head, speak out of your spirit. You're praying out the mysteries that God knows, so you are praying out what He knows you need to pray. He has perfect knowledge of what needs to be prayed out in the situation, and if we'll yield to Him, we'll be praying out the right thing. This is why this is so important. Do you see why this has been attacked in the church? In the church world, this has been mocked. In secular realms, people put something on TV and have them babbling, oh, they're speaking in tongues. It's mocked. Why? Who? Satan will mock it because it will shut him down. He can mess with you, try to get you confused in your mind. He'll try to attack you. But if you'll yield to God, see, we got to resist that. But He knows you're a being with limited understanding. God is not. And if we'll yield to God and pray out according to the Word of God, pray out by His Spirit on the inside of us, we are bypassing our limited understanding. Now it's God praying through us for what needs to happen. Do you see why that would be so powerful? God has gotten access to the earth. See, He cannot do anything in the earth unless some man yields to Him legally. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why it took so long for Jesus to get here. Why didn't He just come the next generation after Adam? Because God had to get people to prophesy and to yield to Him to get the right for God to come in and bring His Son into the earth. There had to be, because God can't just say, do over, forget it. Adam, you messed up. Satan, I'm kicking you out. He could not legally. Satan had a legal right to be there. So He needs God. He needs us to yield to Him. That's what we were talking about in tithes and offerings. People say, well, why didn't God just help me? He needs you to cooperate with Him so He can help you. So you yield your finances to Him. That gives Him a legal right to get involved and to do what you do for you, what He couldn't do for the person next to you at work. Because you're yielding to Him. It's the same thing in every area. If we'll yield to Him, He knows what we need. You know, same thing we were talking about in tithes and offerings. He knows what we need. He knows our needs. But if we'll yield to Him, He can get it done in our lives. It's not that He doesn't want to. If it was up to what he wanted to do, everybody would be saved, everybody would be healed, and we'd get out of this, you know, cursed world right now. It's not up to what he wants and to his will. It's how we yield to him and what we'll give him, how we give him access in our lives. Let's keep moving. 1 Corinthians 14, you guys there? He who speaks in a tongue does not speak. Now, we're not taking time to go through this whole chapter, okay? We could speak for weeks on this subject. Today, I just have it in my heart to fly over some things, hit some high points, okay? If you have questions there, I have more messages on the website. We did series on these things. We can have books that we can direct you to, that you can dig into certain things, but we're not going to do, this is not an exhaustive study today, okay? But we're going to hit some things. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For what no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Now notice that. "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Now let me say this as we're talking about these scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 14. And we don't have time to go into all this detail, okay? So if I spend time on certain things, I'm not going to get to really what's on my heart this morning, okay? But in this chapter, it's talking about a lot. It talks about the gift of speaking in tongues, but it also is talking about the ministry gift of speaking in tongues. Those are two different things. And see, people have confused that when they read this chapter, and they don't understand. You're talking about some characteristics of speaking in tongues in general, but you're also talking about the specific application of speaking in tongues as far as a ministry gift. You know, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. We don't have time to go into all that. But there a few of those, the vocal gifts, are tongues with interpretations and prophecy. So there, and then the other gifts of the Spirit are gift of faith, that's special faith, that's not normal faith, miracles, gifts of healings, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretations, prophecy, okay? Here he's talking some things, so when he says certain things about in the congregation, in the church, he's talking about that, but there are several comments he makes applies to tongues in general, like this. Verse 2, "For he speaks in a tongue, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him," no man. "However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Now we'll come back to this area. Go down to what I wanted to emphasize there is, he's speaking mysteries. As you're praying out in tongues, you're praying mysteries. Mystery to you. Things that you don't know. Remember in Romans, what we just read, we don't know as we ought. I mean, we don't know what to pray as we ought, but God knows. See, we're praying out things in the Spirit. Skip down to, we're gonna go around here. We're going to come back to verse 4. But look at verse 14. Verse 14, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Notice that. When you pray in a tongue, your spirit prays. Your spirit prays. My understanding, that's my mind, is unfruitful. See, you can speak out, you're speaking out of your spirit. You're hooking up your mouth with your spirit. Now, of course, it's going through your mind to some degree to articulate your muscles and everything moving. But I'm saying, you're not processing it. It's not like you're digging into your head. The unction is coming out of your heart. And it's a lot like what I'm doing right now, preaching. I'm not hooked up with my head right now. In other words, I don't have bullet points in my head that I'm trying to remember. I'm hooked up with my spirit, which is hooked up to God and just flowing like that. That's why it's different. Now, I'm not going to go into that. I don't have time. But you just have to understand that you're speaking out of your heart. But your understanding is unfruitful. That means your understanding, your mind may be going, this is stupid. This is nonsense. I don't, you know, your understanding, your mind's just checked out going, what are we doing this for? La, 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 la. What are we, you know, just like sitting around, you know, what are we doing? Dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum. You know, and you got to just tell your mind, shut up. This isn't about you. You just ignore it and just go right in and press on to what God's doing and what he's saying. Now people listen to it, well, what is that? I don't understand that. Well, what does this say right here? Your understanding is unfruitful. Look at the amplified version of this on your sheet. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit, and helps nobody. Does that put it more clearly? If I pray in an unknown tongue, unknown to you, it's not unknown to God. And you can interpret your own prayers. But that's why when we pray in tongues in church, not just when we're generally praying, like if we're spending some time praying in tongues, there are times for that, or singing in the Spirit, we'll see that as well, singing in the Spirit, singing with understanding. But if you're going to have a message in tongues, we need to have interpretation, otherwise, what's the good? Nobody, that's what Paul's saying, it's like it doesn't help anybody, nobody knows what you're saying. That's why he's saying, I would rather prophesy in the congregation then speaking tongues unless there's an interpreter. But you know, that's in the public gift. Look at the next verse. Verse 15, what is the conclusion then? So he just said, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. You see that? I will pray with the Spirit. But what did he say? Verse 14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So then he says, what is the conclusion? Then I will pray with the Spirit. Well, what is praying with the Spirit? Well, you can pray with the Spirit with tongues. You can pray with the Spirit in English. It's by your spirit. You're hooking up your spirit. You're hooking up your mouth to your spirit. But one of those avenues is praying in other tongues. I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. You see, at times in praise and worship, we'll be led to go out and just speak and just sing in tongues. There are times when you're worshiping God, we've sung together words of English, but at some point we're just yielding to Him and praying in tongues. Your heavenly language. It doesn't make any sense to your mind, but you're worshiping Him. The Bible says to do it right here. Now look at, we can just read through this, but I don't want to go off on this. Verse 18, because I have some of these, but these are some of the things, like I'm saying, it's talking about the public gifts of speaking in tongues. Verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving a thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So, you know, he doesn't know what you're saying, the next person, but there's a place to do it together. Verse 18, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. This is Paul speaking. I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, look at what he says in verse 19. Yet in church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now, he's just saying, if all I'm going to do is just speak in tongues, you're not going to know anything. Unless there's an interpreter, you're not going to know anything. So I'd rather say 5 words in English than 10,000 words in a tongue. That's not going to help anybody. But there is a place, and I don't have time to go into it. There is tongues and interpretation, and he touches on that, and it's definitely a gift. There's a place for it, and there's a place to sing in the Spirit. There's a place to pray together, depending on certain things, but it's not teaching anybody. And so that's what he's saying. But notice verse 18, he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So let's just look at that. Just think about that for a minute. Paul, the apostle that wrote how many books in the New Testament, says, I speak with tongues more than you all. Okay, right there. For those that say, this is not for today, this is not, people say that's of the devil. How is it that the person that wrote a good amount of the scripture that you're reading in the New Testament said, I speak with tongues more than you all, but yet we don't do that now? Or that's of the devil? Didn't Paul know that? Poor Paul was exercising and wrote about it in scripture something that is of the devil. That doesn't make any sense. Does it? No, that's a misunderstanding. That doesn't make any sense. Paul was a tongue talker. Paul spoke in other tongues. You know, all the apostles spoke with other tongues. We'll see that here in a minute. Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke with other tongues. That right there will just fly in the face of a number of people. They think, what? Certain denominations will go, no way. Yes way. Yes. It's in the Word. We're going to read it. Hallelujah. Now go back to verse 4. Now before we move on, then we're going to go to Jude. But before we go on, before we leave 1 Corinthians 14:4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. Now I'm telling you, again, it's talking about both of these things in here, but what I want to focus on is that part that says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. What does that mean? It means, that word edify is from a same word that means house builder, to construct or to confirm. It means to edify, to embolden. It means to build up. So it says here, he who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. See, when you're speaking in other tongues, you're building yourself up. It's like a battery being recharged. Do you realize this world will drain you? Life will drain you if you let it. One of the ways you stay built up and charged up, charge your battery, is speaking in other tongues. When you feel worn down and spiritually you just feel depleted, you need to speak with other tongues. Now, you can praise God. I'm not saying it's the only thing, but a thing you can do, according to this verse, another verse that we'll read, you build yourself up. You need to be strengthened. How you do that? You start yielding yourself, speaking with other tongues. What are you doing? You're yielding your mouth to the Spirit of God within you. You're recharging. You're becoming, see, number one, to do this, you got to shut your mind off to a degree, because your mind will say, this is stupid. Why would we do that? You already, to start speaking in other tongues, you have to bypass your mind, and in faith, you hook it up with your spirit. That takes faith right there. It takes your mind off the natural and puts it on the supernatural. Someone called speaking in other tongues the gateway to the supernatural. Because you have to yield to the supernatural in order to speak with tongues. You have to shut your mind off, because like we read, your understanding is not fruitful. Your understanding, your mind is going, I don't know what you're saying. Why are we doing this? This sounds stupid. You're making it up. Anybody that's done it will have those thoughts. And you need to understand what the Word says, because it's the same in every area. You have to act on what the Word says in faith. Regardless of what you see, regardless of you feel, what you feel. If you're going to say, well, I just don't feel like this is working, you missed it. The Word says, when you speak in our tongues, you're building yourself up. And if you do it, you will find that's true. So we want to go do every other thing. I don't feel good, so I'm just going to go lay in bed. Well, good luck. I mean, you may be tired, but if you're just laying in bed because you're depressed or whatever, when you get up, the problem hasn't gone anywhere and you're weaker. But you start praying in other tongues about it, you're hooking yourself up with the answer, with the Almighty. He can give you, remember what it said? You speak out mysteries. You don't know what to pray as you ought, but He can pray through you. You're praying the life of God, the knowledge and the wisdom of God out. You're flooding the room with God's presence and His power when you yield to that. You will be stronger. And you say, well, how long? Until. You just start praying. See, this is a weapon. The more we go, you just see, why has Satan attacked this? Why has he tried to make a mockery out of it? Those fools are just babbling. They're making that stuff up. If you ever hear that, that's ignorance, okay? It's the same thing as the virgin birth. The same thing as Jesus. How did Jesus die and pay for all sins? All those things do not make sense to your head, and neither does speaking in tongues, but it's the Bible. And it brings much fruit and much results. And people, we got to look at the Bible. People may mock, but they mock Jesus. They mock healing. They mock all kinds, you know, God himself. There is no God. Okay, fine. I already know you're over here. I'm going to believe the Bible. The Bible says it, I believe it. That settles it. We're just going to walk in that, and we're going to have the results of that. Now let's keep moving. So it says here that speaking with other tongues, it edifies. Now go over to Jude, saying a very similar thing, Jude. Now, just for the sake of time, we're not going to spend much time there. Just look at it on your sheet, and then we'll go over to Acts. Just look at it on your sheet so I don't have to turn to another scripture. Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." There, doesn't it? That says the same thing. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're building yourselves up. Amen. Amen. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Same thing, to build. Now, we read that speaking in other tongues, it builds where our spirit's praying. Our understanding is unfruitful. We're yielding ourselves to our spirit. That we speak out mysteries. That we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit can pray and help us. So these are reasons why we would yield to it, that the Spirit of God within us is indwelling us. We are yielding to that. That all comes about because we've experienced, this is an evidence of us receiving this experience called being filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now look at your sheet there in Mark. Now we're going to go through into Acts and show some biblical examples. Now, as we're doing this, I'm going to go through these things. If you have not received this experience, okay, If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, at the end, I'm going to have you come up and we're going to lay hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit, okay? So be gearing this way. These are the scriptures. I just gave you some benefits why you would do it. It's the Spirit of God. You're yielding to it, okay? But here, we're going to go through Bible examples of people receiving, okay? And then we're going to lay hands on you. The Bible, I'll show you this, but three of the five examples, they laid hands on them. That's not the only way to do it. That's what we're going to do today. Well, I'll show you the examples. Three of the five, they lay hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing as healing or anything else, wisdom. You believe what God says and you receive it and then you act in faith. Okay? You just step out. You say, I can't. I've tried before. Forget about all that. You look at what the Bible says as we're reading these scriptures, and then you step out and act on it. God will fill your mouth, or else he's a liar. We're going to read the Bible. It's that simple. We're going to look at the Word, we're going to act on the Word, and people will be filled. Okay, I've seen it over and over. All right, because God's good. Mark 16, let's look at these now. Mark, on your sheet, Mark 16, verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Says, he who believes, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, they will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So this is Jesus saying, those that believe will speak with new tongues. Now, let's turn over to Acts. We're going to read a bunch of scriptures in Acts. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. All these are on your sheet. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Acts 1, verse 4. Everybody there? Yes. All right. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Notice this. Jesus is with him, with them. Now let me ask you a question. Has Jesus ascended at this point? This is after his death, burial, and resurrection, okay? So he has. Are these disciples born again? Yes. He's already died. These people believe. But they're assembled together, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Yeah, but they got to go tell everybody the good news about Jesus. Jesus said, don't do that until you've gotten this promise of the Father. You know, there are millions that are going out. What we're about to talk about now, they're going out and trying to do the work and tell people about the gospel, and they don't have what we're talking about here, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus said, no, you wait here. You don't go. You're not equipped. You don't have what you need. You're not fully equipped to do the job. People are trying to do the job and they're not equipped. We need to be equipped. How many of you think if God told you you need something, it would be foolish to go out and say, well, I don't need that. I'll just go. That's like, you know, you took something apart and you put it back together and you're missing it. You have a few parts left over. Well, we don't need those parts. Okay. If God said we need it, you think we need it? Oh, yeah, we need it. All right, let's keep going. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now skip to verse 8. But you shall receive what?
Power
when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then you will be witnesses when you have power, which comes from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now skip to chapter 2, verse 1. Now on the way there, look back at chapter 1, verse 13, real quick. Because they are in this room in chapter 2. But look at verse 13, chapter 1, verse 13. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, Judas. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. These are all the people that are there. All the disciples, all these other people, Mary, okay? Because in verse 1 of chapter 2 now, look, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who's they all? All the people we just read about. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and what? Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and what? And began to speak with other tongues. Well, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I don't speak with tongues. Wrong answer. Because according to the Bible, which we'll see more scripture, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice, it's as the Spirit gave them utterance. He didn't take them over. They just yielded to Him. God does not take you over. He does not force you to speak. Now, that's the first instance. Go to Acts 8. Keep moving here. Acts 8. Now, they, after that, they went out and they started preaching to people. Thousands got saved. And they went on, and that's when the early church really started to take off. Now, chapter 8, verse 4, actually verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So we can go back to verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now notice verse 5, Philip preached Christ to them. Notice that? What does it say in the next verse? The multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. Verse 8, there was great joy in that city. So they received what? The word of Christ. What does that mean? Well, they got born again. Verse 12, then, skip down. Talks about this man, Simon, who's a sorcerer. It says, then they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Both men and women were baptized. Okay, so people believed the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. So did they receive the word of Christ? Yes, they did. Okay, now skip down to verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that the Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought they were just born again. I thought that's the same thing. No, it's a separate experience. It's a separate experience. Verse 16, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, thank God they were saved. Millions are saved, but don't have this other experience. They're separate. Then, look at verse 17. Then they laid hands on them, and they what? They received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now notice what happened. They laid hands on them, they received the Spirit. Now, here, it does not specifically say they spoke with tongues. Now I'm giving you five examples. The first one, in the upper room, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with other tongues, right? Now they didn't have hands laid on them. The Spirit of God just came upon them. There's multiple ways to receive, but it says specifically they spoke with other tongues. Here, it says they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't specifically mention tongues, but Simon saw something. Did he just see it in on the inside of him, just a glow? No, he saw something. It's not a stretch. What did he see? Well, it's not a stretch to say, because you'll see the other examples here, not a stretch to say they were speaking in other tongues. And his heart was wrong at this point, but he repented. Hey, give me that power too. I want that power. And he got rebuked. Okay, let's go to the next one. Chapter 9, verse 10. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. So this is after Saul is converted. He's converted to Paul. He's on the road to Damascus. He's blinded. He sees Jesus. Lord, what must I do? He goes, and this man, Ananias, is listening. And this is what God says to him. He says, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house. So this is Ananias does what God told him to do. And laying his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You notice that? So he laid his hands on him, what? To receive his sight and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, here specifically, it doesn't say, and then Paul spoke with other tongues. But we read in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul wrote, I speak with tongues more than you all. Well, when did he receive that? This says right here, he received the Holy Spirit. He was laying hands on him to receive the Holy Spirit. We can see now through other verses that this coincides with speaking in other tongues. Okay, we're going to give you two more examples. But that's not a stretch. You know, he wasn't. He got filled with the Holy Spirit, and now he speaks with tongues more than you all. Well, how did that happen? Well, it's not. This lines up with Scripture. All right, let's go over to Acts 10. You guys okay? Now, here, Peter is sent to Cornelius' house. Cornelius is a Gentile. You know the story, don't have time to go in all the details, but Peter goes to minister to Cornelius. Cornelius doesn't know the word, but Peter comes and he's preaching to Cornelius and all his house. Cornelius called everybody together. And so he's preaching the gospel to them. Okay? Verse 43, we'll pick up there, but verse 44 is on your sheet. It says, to him, he's talking about Jesus, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, we can go ahead and keep reading, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Look at verse 45, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Verse 44 says, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Verse 45 says, the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. 46, how did they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Do you see that they heard, or they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues? Now you see here, nobody laid hands on them. Peter is just speaking. The Spirit of God fell on them, and they started speaking. And this astonished the people that came with Peter, because they're Gentiles. How is this happening? Well, glory to God. See, their eyes are being opened. The gospel's for everybody. Amen. All right, let's go to chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to them, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now you notice, they had not received this experience. But when Paul, notice here, he did lay his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them, notice that, and they spoke with tongues. Amen. Amen. So we have five examples here, five, from the Word of God. Three of the five hands were laid up upon them to receive the Holy Spirit. Of those, you see, the first one, I mean, of all the examples, the first one in the upper room, they spoke with tongues, clearly. The second one when Philip preached on him, and then John came down and laid hands on him, Simon saw something. They received the Spirit, but it doesn't say specifically they spoke with tongues, but it says there was something to be seen. But this doesn't take much to say they saw them speaking with other tongues. You saw Paul. He had hands laid on him, and it says that he received the Holy Spirit, and he spoke with tongues more than anybody. So it doesn't specifically say it, but it's inferred. Obviously, he got it somewhere. It's logic that, well, if it says he received the Holy Spirit in all these other places, the Holy Spirit was received and there was the evidence of speaking in tongues, that bears up, bears witness with Scripture. So then you have Cornelius' house. No hands were laid upon him, but the Spirit of God fell and they spoke with other tongues. And then you have this example here where hands were laid upon them and they spoke with other tongues. So you have three of the five that hands were laid upon them. And you have three of the five where it specifically said they spoke with other tongues in conjunction with this experience. And the other two was inferred. So there are multiple ways to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you're going to read the Bible, the evidence is that you speak with other tongues. Now we know speaking with other tongues brings these benefits. You build yourself up. You are yielding to the very Spirit of God. Yielding your spirit to His Spirit to speak out mysteries. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Glory to God. Praying out things that your mind doesn't know. But God knows. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God knows. God knows what needs to happen in given circumstances. He knows what needs to happen. If we'll yield to Him. Praise God. There is a, real quickly there, my pastor in Lincoln, Nebraska, he tells the story. He was awakened and just to start praying in other tongues. And he was thinking of his son, Jeff. This at this point, I mean, his children are grown and have kids and they have grandkids themselves, I think, now. But at this point, his son was on a camping trip. And he was awakened and he sensed there was Jeff is in danger. And he said at that point, he found out afterwards, they had, there was just this camp they had set up. There was a big bear that was going through right past their tents and everything, because trying to get to the food. But it was walking and they were in there scared. And they lined up the times. It was just at that time. He was praying in other tongues so they'd be safe. He didn't know what he was praying about. Well, how are you going to pray? He didn't know. He didn't know. You think God knew? Yep. God knew. And he's just telling them, you pray. Time and time again. There are examples like that. Praise God. Now, we're going to, at this point, so I'm just going to open it up. I don't care if it's one, if it's two, if it's a multiple. If you have not received this experience and you want to, I'm going to pray for you right now. All you have to do is we're going to act on the Word of God right here. Okay? This is an opportunity. Maybe, and I'm just telling you right now, just put, you know, regardless of where you just jump in and line up with the Word of God. And act on the Word of God. He's faithful. And you know, if you said, well, I've tried before, that didn't work. This is the Bible. We're going to act on the Word of God, and God is faithful. All right? Now I'm going to read one more scripture to you. If you want to be filled, and you have it, go ahead, come up, sit over here. And we'll pray for you. And if there's nobody, fine. You guys all got a good dose of why you believe in speaking with other tongues. I felt I had that on my heart. But while we're doing that, I'm going to read to you Luke. Don't be stolen from. When the faith is there and the word is there, act on it. Luke. Luke 11, I'm going to go to verse 9. Praise the Lord God. Praise you, Lord. the wrong chapter here. Okay, Luke 11, verse 13. Actually, I'm going to go to verse 9. Praise you, Lord. All right, is there anybody that wants to be prayed for? Come on right up here and sit here in the front. Now, this is an opportunity. God specifically directed us to do this today. So I encourage you, don't put it off. Don't put it off. No pressure, but just act on the word. You say, I'm just not sure. Jump in. You know, I've said this before, but you can be, you know, you sit by the pool on a hot summer's day and the water's a little bit cool. You can, you know, dabble your toes in the water and be like, ooh, I want to get in, but I don't know. It's kind of cold. The best way to get over that is just take a run and start. You know, if you can run in that place, some place you can't run, but just at least just jump off, do a cannonball, and get in. You get wet, and that's over with. Okay? Praise God. Now, if you'll act on the word, every one of you speak with other tongues. This is not hard. This is easy. This is the easiest thing you've ever done in your life. Is God real?
Yes.
Is God true?
Yes.
Is His word true?
Yes.
Then when we act on His word, we'll get His word results. Okay, I'm going to read you this scripture, and then we're gonna pray for you. I'll give you a little bit more instruction. We're going to pray for you. Luke 11, verse 9, it says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Does this sound like, you know, mealy mouth, vague language? Let's read it again. "So I say to you, ask, and it might be given to you if the sun is shining and it's above 70 degrees. No. "I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find." Now, some places, you know, talk about keep doing this. Just look at what the word says. It's very clear. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread, and any father among you, from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then you, being evil or natural, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So we just got reading. If you ask, you'll receive. If you, being natural, he's saying, if you ask for such and such, you know, he says, if you ask for bread, is your Father going to give you a stone? No. He goes through these examples. If you ask God for the Holy Spirit, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. He said, "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So this is the easiest thing you've ever done.